Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday afternoon. This hour, a survey of 2015 college freshmen by the Higher Education Research Institute at UCLA shows that they are more politically engaged than they have been in many years. Unprecedented levels of interest in political engagement and student activism, and the youth vote has the potential to reshape the electoral landscape. More of these students identify themselves as liberals. They want to be community leaders and influence the political structure. Joining us this hour to talk about the resurgence of student activism on campus is Kay Kawashima Kinsberg. She is director of the Center for Information and Research on Civic Learning and Engagement at Tufts University in Massachusetts. We'll be welcoming phone calls for her. If you're a young student who is politically active, or if you're not, you can talk to us about why you are or why you are not. And for those of you in previous generations, some of you, I'm sure, were motivated when you were college students to become politically active. If so, what were the issues that motivated you? So that's the conversation this hour. But first, let me just remind you, if you don't know yet, we are in our membership drive. And I just want to let you know this hour that we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $3,000. So if you choose, and I hope you will, to donate during this hour, it'll be double your money, which is always a good thing. You can call us at 888-202-2552 to give your support, or go to WPR.org. And thank you very much. Kay, hello. Thanks very much for being with us.
Hello, it's good to be with you.
So, were you surprised when you looked at this survey that this generation is much more politically engaged than perhaps the previous couple generations have been? And if so, how much more politically engaged are they?
Sure. It's in some ways really pleasing to see, but not an entirely surprising finding that UCLA had. The reason for that is because the young people have actually been declining their votes in some ways. They voted in large numbers in 2008, and then they've shown a slight decline since then in two consecutive elections. At the same time, they've been doing things differently in the past 8 years, too. They've been, organizing online, and they've been, innovating in social entrepreneurship field, and they're divesting, they're boycotting, doing all kinds of things that are considered political, just not voting. So the activism on campus and its surge in the numbers wasn't surprising in that. It's just another expression of young people's energy and their motivation to become engaged, but it's just a different form.
Mm-hmm. And what is motivating them to become engaged? What are the issues that has captured this generation's fancy?
We have to remember this is the most diverse generation to date in American public. So reflecting that diversity in both racially, ethnically, also class differences between young people, issues really are diverse. One survey found that when you ask young people what's important to you in terms of political issues, 31 topics came up. So it's really pretty diverse. That said, the top issue the young people mentioned is, of course, in economics. It actually varies depending on who you ask what they mean by economic issues, though. For many young people, particularly college students and recent college graduate, that means college affordability and college debt, things like that. While if you ask young people who are starting family who may be working in low-wage jobs, minimum wage is their economic issue. And others are really concerned about the economic equality in our society.
This debt is really phenomenal, isn't it? So many young people are graduating with huge amounts of debt, and then you have the interest you have to pay. It's just going to put them on a course to having to delay many things that many other generations had in their 20s to their 30s, if not beyond, because they can't afford to get married or have a house or have children.
That's right, and that's already been bearing out in research, which is that they're delaying, things like purchase of house and having children. Both because, many more young women in particular have stronger career ambition and they may feel like they have to put that on hold, but another big reason is economy.
Mm-hmm. We have seen some protests on campus. We've been seeing protests against treatment of African-American students and some serious action taken at the University of Missouri. What is the breakdown when you look at Black and Latino students and whether or not they are more likely to participate in a protest concerning these kinds of issues of equality?
Absolutely. So when the UCLA did that study this year of college freshmen, the young people of color, particularly Latinos and especially African-American young people, were more likely to say they plan on participating. It, of course, has to do with, you know, the social disparity that many African-American and Latino young people experience at the personal level or maybe at the friends and family level. These issues around inequality is just much more relevant for them.
And the demographics of college freshmen, the study reminds us, have changed considerably since this survey was first given in, what was it, 1966, I believe.
That's right, yeah.
So,
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, please.
College students have certainly diversified in many ways, and especially when you look at community college, they've expanded both racial and ethnic diversity as well as age. When we used to think about college students, they were generally speaking somewhere between 18 and 24-year-old. They never took a break. They were unmarried, didn't have children, and went to four-year college. Today, the face of college students is much more diverse than that.
Mm-hmm. The just being, you have said, on a college campus increases the likelihood that a young person will vote. I wonder if it also increases the likelihood that they will become engaged in some kind of public service jobs or become engaged in issues of equality. There's a huge amount, you say, of outreach that focuses on colleges. A huge amount of let's go vote kind of outreach.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. We have to sort of note that, you know, this is a presidential election thing where college students are really getting a lot of contact with campaigns, nonpartisan GOTV, that's get out the vote groups, and other advocates for voting. But other years, too, college is a great site for civic and political learning because there are so many opportunities to learn about what's happening in the country, whether it's through the courses that they take, through political science and other type of classes, or engaging community service through service learning or student volunteering group. There's just so many opportunities to engage in that kind of thing. So college is a great pathway toward lifelong active citizenship.
Mm-hmm. Let's look at voting for a moment. I know there were a number of young people in this age group who turned out for President Barack Obama in 2008. I have read, and I wonder if you can confirm this, that at least when we looked at Nevada caucuses, I don't know if it was true in Iowa and New Hampshire, that the young people vote in this age group for Bernie Sanders was something like 5 points higher than it was for Obama in similar caucuses and primaries. Is that true?
In Nevada caucus, what we saw was that, you know, the share of the caucus participants was about 13%. That was the young people that represented that age group in 2008 caucus on the Democratic side. In 2016, it was 18%.
Really?
So what that meant was their presence was much bigger in any given Democratic precinct. And that meant they likely had a lot more influence.
Mm-hmm. And that vote went for Bernie Sanders, most of it, I'm sure.
By 8-2. It's been really consistent where young people are voting, on the Democratic side anyway, over 80% to Bernie Sanders and somewhere around 12-16% to Secretary Clinton.
Yeah, why so many votes going for Bernie Sanders, do you think?
Bernie Sanders seems to have really captured the imagination of millions of young people so far because he represents something that really connects to what we just said about activism, which is that young people have always had energy but has been really developed a distaste for politics as usual. And that's, you know, perceived in things like Washington politics, money in politics, the way that, you know, the government's perceived as corrupt and broken in some ways. Because he's been an outsider and has been talking about political revolution, especially this campaign, it's giving young people a lot of hope that if they support Senator Sanders, there may be some meaningful change, that their votes can actually have an impact and there would be a social change ahead of them.
What about the changes that have taken place? Now, when I went to vote last week, it was the first time that I had to show an ID, and even I had to make sure that I had the right ID because I recently moved. But there's been a lot of talk about, since the 2012 presidential election, more states have toughened their voting laws. Does it make it harder for students and for lower-income residents to vote? We're concentrating on students, so does it make it harder for students to vote?
Absolutely. You know, that's one of the biggest administrative barriers that we can imagine putting up against students, because students sometimes move every year. Oftentimes, they don't necessarily switch their driver's license from one state to the other. Many students, of course, come from out of county or out of state. And it's really hard for them to get together enough supplemental paperwork, so to say, if they don't drive. And the research continues to show that the millennials are far less likely to drive, and it's especially the case if you're a college student who's just there for a few years and primarily live on campus, for example.
We welcome phone calls. We're talking about this hour, this survey of 2015 college freshmen. It was done by the Higher Education Research Institute at UCLA, and it shows they are more politically engaged than they have been in many years. And we're talking about why that is the case. They are concerned about voting, and their numbers are up for the presidential primaries and caucuses so far this year. Nearly 9% of freshmen say there's a very good chance they'll participate in a student protest on campus, which is the highest in the survey's history, and this has been going back quite some time now. Black and Latino students are more likely to express this view than white and Asian American students. The students are demonstrating for greater college affordability, against sexual assault, 60% of freshmen indicating they plan to vote in an election while in college. I would hope that is the case, but that's an increase of 10 percentage points compared with 2014. This particular group identifying themselves more as liberal or very left than conservative. Why do you think that is the case? How does it translate to what's happening in this presidential election? And if you would, you know, you can identify yourself from whatever generation you're from and look at the political activism or lack thereof in your generation. What was it when you were in college that made you become politically active or turned you off to the political system or made you espouse and march for a cause? Our phone number for on-air participation today is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@WPR.org, Facebook, The Kathleen Dunn Show. We're on Twitter, and that's at K Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about college student political engagement, student activism reaching new heights, and finding out what the issues are that college students are concerned about. They are voting in increasing numbers, which is also good. And welcome your calls. Don't be shy about this. Some of you may be young people who are politically engaged, and you can tell us what it is that's motivating you either to demonstrate or to go to the polls. Maybe you were in a generation that was thought of as not being politically engaged. What about the 1960s and 1970s, when many students were politically engaged, anti-war demonstrations all over the country? What motivated you perhaps then? And do those early years of becoming engaged translate for a good portion of your life so you stay engaged? We certainly welcome your phone calls. Kay Kawashima Ginsburg is our guest, and Kay is director of the Center for Information and Research on Civic Learning and Engagement at Tufts University in Massachusetts. We would like very much to hear from you during the course of this hour. Kay, have you been able to look at other generations? We have heard that the 1980s, students in that generation were not as politically engaged. In the 1960s, our thoughts are that students were very much engaged, mostly because of the war in Vietnam. Do you have a generational breakdown?
We do. And oftentimes there's this perception that the boomer generation is sort of this incredibly engaged generation since their young age. And it's partially true, but when we look at the voting itself, it's actually not that different. Young people have been voting at about 50% at pretty much every presidential election since the 1960s. And, you know, there's been a little bit of an uptick in the early 2000s and then also in the 70s. But pretty much it's been even. That said, the activism was clearly up in 1960s. We unfortunately don't really have the data. What we do have, though, is how engaged young people and older people are as adults today. When we look at things like voting and volunteering, the boomer generation really definitely have contributed in large number, but also very committed active citizens in terms of things like volunteering hours and consistency.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this argument to be made about how the young, you know, the experience of activism in young age have a long-lasting impact for the rest of their lives.
And you've talked about, you've been quoted as saying it really isn't easy to participate as much as some students do. You say that it's always been the case that not as many as 90% of students say they'll participate in protests because they take a lot of time and commitment. And also, you remind us, in some ways, courage.
That's right. You know, when we think about activism on campus, we have to understand how much of energy and effort and courage it must have taken for those students, especially those who have been in marginalized positions on their campuses, such as Black students and other students in positions of disempowerment. Because it is about changing the power balance wherever you are. In particular, on campus, it is about challenging the top leadership of a university, which often seems like a daunting task if one student is just thinking about how unhappy they're about the campus they are in. But I think students and young people at large are starting to realize when they unite around the common interest and issue, they have this incredible power to change something much bigger than themselves. And young people, as research finds, has been known to really appreciate the impact that they can have. So if they can see that, you know, activism and voting both have a meaningful impact in the way whether their college or the country is going, they are likely to really become engaged.
Mm-hmm. And we certainly saw that was the case at one of the most prominent protests in the last few months, the University of Missouri.
That's right. It really, you know, told the whole nation that students don't just have a voice, but they can have an influence when they really mean to have that. And in particular, the involvement by athletes was really sort of the surprising element where they realized that they are, you know, in a way, top breadwinner of that university through their athletic work. And they realized that if they use that power and leverage it to make some change, they can do that. And I think that was a big shift in the way young people themselves saw them, their power, and also how the older people, especially in power, are starting to see young people's power.
Mm-hmm. Kay, why do you think it is that more people who are surveyed here consider themselves liberal or very liberal rather than conservative?
That is actually a new shift in the last 20 years or so. Back in 1990s and especially 80s, young people were split completely half and half. And now, since about 2008, when President Obama was running, that split has started to become really evident. And that's continued, especially among college students. You know, there's been a lot of debates about why that is. But part of this is that, again, this is a really diverse generation that has seen different ways in which people from different backgrounds interact with each other, interact with the system. And the issues of, you know, inequality and social justice and things like that are really close to them. We also have to remember that social media has really played a role in increasing young people's awareness of issues of injustice and inequality, because these things just come to their feed. And whenever young people feel outraged that things aren't right, they are likely to engage. And I think those issues tend to be more on the liberal side of the spectrum. And peer norms is really huge among young people.
It is true that they use those cell phones for all kinds of information that comes through in many different ways, isn't it? They find out about what's going on pretty instantaneously. It's a big source of news.
It certainly is, and it is sort of the leading source of news for young people. They are certainly keeping up with news through social media, and that has pros and cons in that. One is that, you know, pro is that, you know, you get the news pretty much right away as they are happening, and then you hear it from, in a way, trusted source, which are often your friends and peers. The other side of the coin is, of course, that you tend to hear about the same kind of thing around the same ideological spectrum over and over. This actually contributes to polarizing political issues.
We welcome phone calls. Don't be silent on this. It would be really interesting to hear from you. We're finding that we have a generation, this was a study done by UCLA that's been done since the 1960s, and it has found that there has been a shift in how younger people view themselves politically, with many more saying they're liberal or very liberal than conservative, which is a big change from 20 years ago. But also they're voting now in greater numbers, are more politically engaged, and more are saying that they would participate in protests if it's on an issue like racial justice. Then more Latino and African-American students say that they would participate in such protests. People are concerned, young people are concerned about how much in debt they're going to be, the lack of jobs that pay them a decent wage, racial disparities in the country. Those are the kinds of issues that are resulting in greater student activism. So are you involved in that? Do you consider yourself, if you're young in this generation, to be politically active? Is that a change from your older brothers and sisters? If you were coming of age in the 1980s or in the 1970s or the 1960s, was there something going on that made you become politically engaged? And if so, what was it? And I guess the broader question, it's nice to see younger people who are turning out to vote, because we should be voting in huge numbers in this country. But what do you make of that? So call us, won't you please? Here's our phone number, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org. Our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're on Twitter as well, and that's @KDunnShow. We're talking about a survey of 2015 college freshmen by the Higher Education Research Institute at UCLA, showing they are more politically engaged than they have been in many years. And our guest is Kay Kawashima Ginsburg, director of the Center for Information and Research on Civic Learning and Engagement at Tufts University in Massachusetts. We have tons of calls coming in, and I'm really interested in hearing what our audience has to say about this, because they're from different generations. We start with Anne from Viroqua. Hi, Anne.
Hi. I come from a generation of, I graduated high school in 1980, so it was like the tail end of the baby boom, and Vietnam and all that was over, although my older brothers and sisters were all in that generation. But when I was in college at Madison in the 80s, it was really fashionable to say, oh, I'm not political. And I really never became politically active until I moved to Great Britain and London in the mid-80s, and Margaret Thatcher and the poll tax, and finally having my eyes opened, you know, to the income disparity, class issues, which in America is just glossed over. And I'm really pleased to hear the new generation will be more politically engaged, because the income, I believe it's due to the income disparity really coming home to roost. Because after they got rid of the draft, all those people who graduated in the 60s and 70s, many of them just went on to the guaranteed careers, which I really didn't, because it was too late, and then somehow became conservatives. And it was about the draft mostly, and the hard hats versus the hippies, mm-hmm. and it pushed all of the working class into the so-called silent majority. And my main point I'd like to make is this: I'm really happy I'm not happy that it's been pushed so desperately to such desperate times, but that the young people are finally seeing this, and maybe right. Something's going to change.
Thanks, Anne. Kay.
Thanks for that comment. I think it's really true that, you know, there's different stories about different generation, and this millennial generation in particular, their story is the disparity in income. In particular, you know, many of the older millennials and even younger ones faced the economic recession head on as they were graduating from college or high school, when they thought that there should be jobs, because they did everything right up to that point, and that promise was very much broken. So I think they really felt that at heart, how problematic the income disparity had become and the disparity in opportunity has been. So they are really find their own ways in some ways to engage with politics.
Thanks, Anne, for your call. Jim in Baraboo. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Kathleen. Thank you. Great show, as always. Appreciate the subject and wanted to share with you.
Great. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, you bet. Environmental activism was the big thing that drove me to get involved as a young man out of the military and going to UWSP up in Stevens Point. And back in the early 70s, there was a lot of no nukes movement, the Earth Day movement, the Clean Air, the Clean Water Act, a lot of grassroots things happening there. There was an environmental council run by a guy named Mike Victor in UWSP back in the 70s. Got thousands of students really interested in politics because of the environment. Now, nowadays, I'm glad to see, you know, students, my daughters are interested, my son's interested, in a little jaded, more jaded, I think, than we were about politics, but becoming involved again, but more so about the economy and about how, you know, the dollar is weak, et cetera, more than it was environmental back then. But I wanted to share that with you and say, you know, kudos to your guest for bringing this out and to you for bringing this out. And, boy, kids should get involved, you know, young people get involved. Everybody stay involved.
Thanks, Jim, so much for your call. It's interesting that when you look at this survey, environmental activism, concerns about global warming, didn't seem to be mentioned very much. Was that just an oversight, Kay, or is that not something that's rallying students?
It seems to me that there is a segment of young people that's heavily involved in that issue, and then they show up in Bernie Sanders' rally, for example, because that's one of his platform issues. The fact is, though, that there are just so many more issues, and young people are just sort of everywhere. And, you know, because it is a generation and the social context and technology allows young people to focus on a specific issue and find peers who care about the exact same issues, particularly on social media network. So I think it's been really easy to sort of segment young people into really small portion. And that is good and bad. So one, it's good because young people can find the true issue that they care about and find peers to do that with. But it is hard to really coalesce a large number of young people on one topic, mm-hmm. like environmentalism.
Maybe there are just too many topics, huh?
There's definitely no shortage.
Thank you, Jim, for your call. Dan in DeForest. Hi, Dan.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Never better. Thanks.
Good. That's great.
Say, you know, when I was, as I've been listening to the program, it occurred to me that perhaps the students haven't changed as much as where the center is, the fence of what is considered conservative or liberal. Certainly, the currently we have the Tea Party, and look at what's been going on with the Supreme Court nomination. It's a whole more divisive arena than we used to have. And so I'm just wondering if perhaps the students haven't changed that much, but what used to be conservative is now no longer conservative enough. Perfect example being recently deceased Justice Patrick Crooks on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. He was a conservative, but as the times changed, he was actually then toward the end of his tenure was considered a liberal member of the court. And that wasn't because he changed, but the fence got moved.
Mm-hmm. I think there are pockets of that where that's happening. But in general, both the conservative people and liberal people have really moved off the center. So there's almost sort of this shrinking center where there's almost no moderate people. And the young people aren't, unfortunately, no exception. And I mentioned that you sort of hear about the same kind of news with people that share the same opinion as them on social network. News sharing network, so to say. And that's part of the issue, is that Americans are more and more likely to live and interact with people that share the same exact opinion. And that means you can move in one direction mm-hmm. or the other really easily because you sort of amplify that voice. And college campus tends to be more liberal. So particularly college students may be leaning more and more to the extreme left because of that peer influence.
Melody writes on Facebook, I'm hoping that students stay politically active after school as well. I hope the energy isn't just for receiving free college. And why should they receive their education for free? Being a young woman during the 70s and having been brought up in the state, the only way I could go to college was to join the Army and use my GI benefits. Would there be something in place for students to give back if they receive these benefits?
Interesting she mentions that, because there's actually a talk about making a service year as a, like a national requirement. That's a movement that started a few years back to say, you know, it is a critical part of becoming a person is to serve the country. And since there's no draft or there's no GI, you know, the same way that young people aren't serving in the military, there should be an option for young people to dedicate a year to service. And that's one way to sort of both give back, but also to continue their active citizenship throughout. I would also note there are thousands of AmeriCorps and AmeriCorps Vista members who are serving for educational award. And that's still a form of service that exists today.
Yes. Thanks for your message, Melody. And let's go next to Jay in East Troy. Hi, Jay.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm 77 years old, and I got involved in politics at 19 as a precinct captain in Chicago. And it was mainly because of the machine of the Daley administration in those days. But it was right around the time of the Cuba crisis. And I had always, we used to read newspapers all the time and ride on the bus to school. Nowadays, I'm not sure how much newspapers in their context have to go. My two younger kids are 25 and 28, and very, very much interested in politics and social affairs. And I think that was part of the literature and the fact that we had public television all throughout their kids. We didn't have cable. The media, the broadcast media, and mainly was the idea of getting them out to be active and physical in the world and to study a great deal of things and make some choices about the world. I'm pretty convinced that what's happened is kind of covered in the book of What's the Matter at What's the Matter in Kansas, there's so many social issues that have been interjected into the economic issues. In the 70s and 60s, I was involved in the Back of the Arts Council with Saul Alinsky because of all the polls and the minorities that were in the Back of the Arts. And that was the first real community reorganization that really carried forth in a lot of other areas. And then later, we saw the rioting that was due both to the draft and to the civil rights movement.
Yes.
All going on at the same time. And I just last week was talking to my kids about the fact that I really think that there's a real possibility for the kind of uproar that happened in the 70s, if this issue is not resolved in this election.
All right. Thank you so much, Jay, for your very interesting call and reflections on many generations. And we thank you, Kay, very much for being with us. It was a really interesting conversation. I'm sorry it was short, but we got a lot of business to tend to this hour.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.